Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to Nobody Told Me. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black.
Is there such a thing as living a truly honest life? When is deception better than honesty? What are the consequences of repeatedly lying to ourselves? And what is the power of honesty in a world full of lies?
Those are some of the questions we'll explore on this episode with our guest, Judy Kettler, who's an award-winning journalist and the author of Would I Lie to You? The Amazing Power of Being Honest in a World That Lies. Judy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to talk about this topic.
Well, this is a wonderful topic, and we'd love to start by learning what inspired your wildly popular New York Times article, How Honesty Could Make You Happier, which then inspired the book, Would I Lie to You?
Well, you know, it was a couple of things. It was like a societal thing and then a personal thing. So society, culture-wise, I felt like I just had this moment where I was like, man, the world we are living in, it just feels so dishonest right now. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it was more dishonest, and it's always been the same amount of dishonest, I don't know. But we're so exposed to so much, to the 24/7 news cycle and social media. There's so much coming at us. And so it just felt like it was just everything around me felt so dishonest. So that was from the outside. And then on the inside, I also was struggling. You know, my kids they're 9 and 11 now. So back up 2 years, they were like, 7 and 9. So at these ages where they were really starting to ask a lot of questions, and I felt like I wasn't engaging with them in honest ways. Like I just was kind of brushing off answering things in rote ways. Same thing in my marriage. Like I felt like there was things I really needed to engage with more honestly. So in all these, my interpersonal relationships, and then when I looked out into the world, it just felt like there was so much dishonesty, and it just seemed like I needed to once and for all kind of figure out, like, what is my relationship with honesty? Because I had a pretty good idea. I wasn't as honest as I thought I was, even if I could see others' dishonesty. And it frustrated me. I also knew I had my own, and I wanted to explore that. It all just kind of came to a head. And I thought, I'm just going to start writing down every honesty decision I make during the day. And I started this honesty journal. After a few weeks of doing that, I was like, I think this is an article. I started to work on the article. As I was working on the article, I thought, I think this is a book. So it just progressed from there.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, it is a topic that impacts all of us. And I know you say everybody wants the truth, but nobody wants to be honest. Explain more about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a quote I found. I don't know who to attribute it to. I probably saw it on Pinterest, and then I saw it in a lot of places. So it might require some attribution. I didn't make it up, and I don't know who to attribute it to, so I just said it was anonymous. Yeah, but I think that we get really annoyed, frustrated, hurt, all these things when people are lying to us. And it's very easy to see others' dishonesty. in, you know, whether it's in relationships or kind of out in the world, right? It's very easy to see others being dishonest. It's a little bit harder to see it within yourself because we have all kinds of mechanisms in place, you know, rationalizing, justifying, just plain not paying attention because we're so distracted that we want this thing so badly from others, but we often do not practice it ourselves and we don't even see it. We miss it. We just miss, we miss the bias. And I did at least. And so I think that if I did, I feel like other people probably do too. I think it's kind of a universal thing. There is something called the actor-observer bias, where it's easy to see others misbehaving. It's harder to spot that behavior in yourself.
How is the culture of nice, if you will, how is that detrimental to us?
Yeah, so I've heard that reference a few times. I didn't mention that in the book, but then I've heard you're not the first person who said that, and so I looked up some stuff about it. So I think that, you know, it is important. I mean, this is the thing about, you know, truth and deception, is that there are times where it's really important to, even when it's difficult to stand in that difficult space, you need to be honest with someone. There are other times where the honesty, like your opinion isn't necessary, right? The honesty isn't necessary. It's only going to, it doesn't serve a purpose other than like your ego or like something you feel like you have to, especially if this happens in workplaces where managers think that they have to just tell, you know, their people every single thing they did wrong or every single weakness. And research shows that's not helpful. Like that isn't, that kind of just broad-based, like unleashing the truth on people is not helpful. And so I think it's the culture of nice, from my understanding, is kind of getting caught up in that thing where you don't, you're so afraid to offend people, you don't say anything at all. But I think what happens is that you miss the opportunity to really engage and learn something about yourself and how you use truth and deception, and then to kind of understand what the person who you're communicating with, what they need from you in that moment. We just miss the opportunity when we either like say things like honesty is the best policy or say things like no one ever tells the truth anymore. Like we miss all of the nuance there.
Now, how did focusing on honesty help you? How did it empower you after you started this honesty journal?
Well, it helped me in a few different ways. I mean, you know, one thing it did is it made me aware of my own behavior. So when I started this work, I was really feeling like in a way like a victim a little bit of a dishonest world, you know, a dishonest leader, a dishonest like, you know, corporation, you know, lying, cheating, just around the time of Theranos. I can't remember the exact timeline there, but so I was feeling like a victim. I don't want to feel like a victim. Like that's not a great space to kind of reside in. And so doing this work helped me get out of that space, like first and foremost, like, wait a minute, this isn't like something that's being done to me by the world. This is a system that I am part of. I am like co-creating with everyone around me because I'm not paying attention to my own honesty either. So it helped me get out of that victim space and into more of a like, I'm going to take ownership for my behavior space. It also helped a lot in my marriage because my husband and I were having struggles, as I think most long-term committed relationships do. It's not uncommon. And I think there were some areas, there were some things, some stories I was telling myself about like who I was, what kind of wife I was, like who I was inside my marriage that really weren't true. And I'm a pretty self-aware person, but it was a blind spot. Like I just was like, well, this is who I am. I'm low maintenance. I'm this. This is why I act in this way. And my husband is this, and he's this, and he's this. And those narratives were kind of keeping us stuck. And so it took me really like diving in to like focusing on the narratives I had built up about myself and about him and about our marriage to work through all that And then parenting too. It just helped me to be more engaged with answering my kids' questions. I mean, one thing I came to realize is that when kids ask you things, even when they're really hard questions, if you don't answer them, the next place they're probably going to go is Siri, is the web, is Instagram, is social media, you know. Kids have always kind of learned things, you know, on the street from their friends at the playground or whatever. And that's still happening. But now it's also happening via a Google search. And so I did not want that to be how my children sought answers to things. I mean, some things, sure, but like the complicated stuff of life and, you know, things around sex education or around like guns and violence. I mean, these things, I wanted them to come to me, but then I had to be willing to really engage honestly to answer their questions.
And, you know, in kind of a different way, I was thinking about how dishonesty is really becoming more socially acceptable in that on social media, you have so many kids and adults for that matter who are putting filters on themselves and tricking themselves into thinking that that's how they actually look. And that's a lie in some way.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, one of the things is that, you know, we all, as kids, like, you have to figure out how do you present yourself? How do you, like, we all forever have been negotiating these kinds of things. But kids now, they're negotiating that in these very, very public spaces, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out. And so I watched it even with, you know, with my son. My daughter's not on social media yet. My son is, because he does all this like extreme trampoline flipping, and all these kids connect on Instagram and YouTube, and it's just where the community lives. And he's part of it. He's active, and so even he's been like, I've tried to guide him, and we've had a lot of conversations about boundaries and like, when to block people and when to like, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. But also some about like, how are you presenting your life? And like, just think about before you post something, like, is there something that you want people to think of you in a certain way? Or you know, like, what are those choices that you're making? Because I, you know, think about social media a bit differently now, just being more aware of what I'm putting out there. I've never been a person who's like obsessed with presenting this perfect vision of my life. But I think in little ways I was, and it's not that I still don't post the wonderful pictures of the birthday party that I worked really hard to pull off. Of course I want to post that and celebrate it, but I'm also more like, it's okay to just show like, you know, like when the day my book came and I wanted to open it up and I had my husband take this video and like I had glasses on, my hair hadn't been colored in forever. I mean, it looked terrible. And I was like, I don't care. I'm so excited about this moment. I want to show it. And it doesn't matter. Like, I don't need to present this perfect vision of myself. Like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. So I'm more able to do that now. Some of it maybe is just because I'm a little older and I, you know, you just care less the older you get. But I don't know if that answered your question. I think I was talking in a lot of circle there.
It absolutely does. And I was just thinking as well, with how many people are posting just the great things about themselves and how they look on social media. And I think it's so good that you were honest in just showing, hey, this is how I actually was in the moment. This wasn't a moment that was manufactured.
Yeah. And so one thing, this is really funny. One thing that I came across recently was all of these pictures that my dad was, he was drafted in the army in like 1952 during the Korean War. He didn't get sent to Korea. He wound up getting sent to Germany, but he was an amateur photographer. He loved to take pictures, right? And so he died about 6 years ago. My sisters and I were going through his stuff, you know, and we found all these self-portraits that he had taken. Like, he was obsessed with taking pictures of himself, like obsessed. And he would take them in all these different, like inside the truck, at a cafe having a beer, like, you know, he would with his fellow soldiers. And so it really made me think about, you know, part of the reason I think we take like selfie culture, it is to show, like, there's a good side of it. Like, we want to show like little snapshots of our life and little kind of moments and capture these little things. And I think that's the good side of it that I've tried to reconnect with, like, because I think there's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of great things about when we're trying to capture these little moments of our life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just made me think more about, like, why am I doing it? Am I doing it because this is such a fun time I'm having with my daughter at the park, and I just want to take a selfie of us and put it up there, and I want to remember it, to remember this little, like, wonderful afternoon? Or is it because I want to prove, like, what a wonderful mother I am? It's different. Like, there are different motivations, and I think the motivation matters.
We're so glad to have you as part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. And you know, if this year has taught us anything, it's that tomorrow may look nothing like today.
But Schwab knows that successful financial planning can help propel net worth by 2.7 times.
That's why Schwab offers a variety of easy, flexible financial planning options that can rise to meet any of life's many curveballs.
Whether it's making a complimentary retirement plan online or chatting directly with a financial consultant, anyone can look forward to planning with Schwab.
Learn more at schwab.com/plan.
That's schwab.com/plan.
Tell us more about the ways in which we conceal the truth, because I know you talk about things like exaggerating and sidestepping and spinning half-truths that are not necessarily, you know, telling an out-and-out lie. Mm-hmm. And we may deceive ourselves a little bit in that way, because you think, well, I haven't told an out-and-out lie, but maybe I've concealed the truth a little bit.
Yeah, so they're all, you know, one of the first things I did when I decided to, like, write the book and really engage with this topic is I talked to this philosopher, this philosophy professor, and he was like, listen, honesty is, it means everything and nothing, because there's so many different types. Like, what is honesty? Really, what you have to look at is deception, right? And there's a lot of different types of deception. So there's lies of commission, which means that you're actively saying something untrue for the purposes of trying to deceive someone. There's lies of omission, where you're just omitting something, but you're still doing it for the purposes of deceiving. There's half-truths, where you are, it's kind of this combination of omission and commission, like you're saying something true. You're not exactly trying to deceive. You're just not sharing everything. There's also, there's pro-social lying. So this is kind of this whole other, you know, lies of self-interest, which are the lies that we tell for our own benefit, whether it's like monetary benefit, like cheating, or even just the benefit of our ego, like bragging or, you know, taking credit for something that we didn't do. I mean, it isn't always related to, we hear self-interest and we think money, but oftentimes it's just related to ego. And then there are lies, pro-social lies, which are benevolent lies, lies that we tell for the benefit of someone else. And this is where I think it's really interesting, because not all deception is bad. And I think this is something I try to talk a lot about in the book, because my project wasn't necessarily to be more honest. It was to be more aware of my honesty choices. And one of the things I realized is that I use pro-social deception to try to build empathy. Like, if I see someone who's just made a really dumb mistake and I see that they are mortified, I might say to them, oh, I did that same thing myself. Because I'm just like, I'm empathetic, and I hate when someone feels really dumb.
Exactly.
To ameliorate that. Right. And so and there's really nothing wrong with that. Now, it can, if you're creating a whole complicated story, then perhaps you're doing it more for your own benefit. I mean, I think this is where that slippery slope is, because are you using pro-social deception for reasons to do with empathy and connection and building, or are you kind of, are you doing it because you just don't want to stand in some uncomfortable space, but it's really a truth that needs to be told? And I think that those, all of that nuance, when you start to pay attention to it, it's really interesting, because you learn a lot about yourself. So I could see my empathy at work, but I could also see the times when I really needed to just, like, toughen up and be more direct, because it was more, even though it would feel more kind to tell a lie, really it was cruel because the person needed the feedback. Like they were asking for it or they needed it or whatever. Even though it was uncomfortable, it was important to give it to them. And so I think that we, when we just kind of lump it all together, like lying bad, honesty good, we just miss all these chances that we can really learn about how we engage with people and why we do things. So that was one thing that doing all this work helped me just pay more attention to all that nuance of how we communicate.
We thank you for being part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. Our conversation continues as we tell you more about our sponsor, Green Chef, and a special offer Green Chef has just for our listeners.
Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company that makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences.
Fill up with Protein Packed. That's Green Chef's newest collection of recipes fit for a high protein dietary preference. Choose from 3 weekly menu items, each including at least 40 grams of protein per serving. You can expect a variety of satisfying and flavorful recipes like Greek chicken salad with mint olive tapenade, enchilada spiced turkey bowls, and almond-crusted barramundi.
Celebrate springtime with recipes featuring premium proteins, seasonal organic produce, and sustainably sourced seafood. This month, I'm loving Green Chef's savory seared beef tenderloin with shiitake mushrooms and green beans and a spicy ginger lime aioli.
As for me, my favorite this month is Green Chef's chicken with garlic charred rice with a delicious apricot pan sauce and roasted almonds.
And Green Chef is the only meal kit that is both carbon and plastic offset. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions to your door, as well as 100% of the plastic in every box. Plus, nearly all packaging materials are curbside recyclables in most areas in the U.S.
Make time for exciting plans and new goals this spring with Green Chef's convenient, wholesome recipes featuring seasonal organic produce and unique farm-fresh ingredients like rainbow carrots, bok choy, and olives.
Plus, you'll cut down on meal prep with pre-portioned and prepped ingredients, including pre-measured sauces, spices, and dressings.
And now here's the special offer for Nobody Told Me listeners. Just go to greenchef.com/nobody60 and use code NOBODY60 to get 60% off plus free shipping.
Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well.
Just go to greenchef.com/nobody60 and use code NOBODY60 to get 60% off plus free shipping.
How would you suggest that we communicate to somebody that we can tell they're not being honest with us?
That's a good question. Sometimes I approach things from like, what would I say to my kids? Because that seems somehow easier, you know, because you know, people lie for all different kinds of reasons. So, you know, my son used to have this friend who was always spinning these fibs, and they were just kind of ridiculous fibs, like my dad's going to be in the Olympics, my mom is a neurosurgeon, and like these things that we knew weren't true, like we could objectively see, like, well, this isn't true. And my son would get so frustrated with him, and I would say, but Max, like, I understand it is frustrating, and you know, you could call him out, you could be like, I know that's not true. And you might get to a point where you do that. Like, that might be appropriate. But also, it is important to understand, like, do you think there's a reason why he's doing that? Is it because he's, like, the oldest of 5 kids and he has all this responsibility and the limelight, like, is never on him anymore? There's always a new baby coming. Like, do you think it's just because he wants to, like, have something interesting about himself that he wants to be able to say, and is that a motivation, do you think, that's behind this? And if so, is there a way that you could try to do a little sidestep and just change the subject and ask him about some of his other interests or something to just try to engage with him a little bit more? So I think that even for adults, I think that strategy might be able to work if it's an issue where someone's like bragging or exaggerating or saying something, that instead of just like calling them out and embarrassing them, is there a way to like take a moment, think about like what might be motivating this, and then can you engage with them in a different way? That's one strategy. But also, if someone is really like they are trying to deceive you, and it seems to be a motivation of like self-interest, they're trying to get away with something. I mean, I think being direct is important, you know, just asking them, are you telling me the truth? But without a bunch of like emotional, like without a bunch of how dare you, how could you lie to me? You always lie to me, like all of that, without all of that stuff, just trying to be more direct and less emotional, because that's something that has helped me figure out how to, when I need to have direct communication with people, how to just kind of filter out all of those other feelings of whatever they are, frustration, insecurity, whatever, and just like be more direct in my communication with them. I don't know if that's a helpful answer or not, because that's a really good question, and I don't know that I have the perfect answer.
When you first started to focus on the topic, you kept an honesty journal, and I was wondering if you could explain that a little more, and what do you think the benefits are? I'm just wondering who should use it.
Mm-hmm. I think anyone can. I mean, so in my honesty journal, I should clarify, was opening a Google document and just writing down, you know, my honesty choices.
Sure, yeah, well, I know. It works.
Yeah. Right. Because then too, like in a Google document, you can have it on your computer, you can have it on your phone, so I could like keep track when I was on the go. So really, I think that anyone can benefit. I think that if, you know, people who are the same kinds of people who are interested in things like courage and vulnerability and trying to, you know, be just like empowerment and, you know, motivation and the kind of your self-help crowd, the people who really want to keep actively bettering themselves. I mean, I think that's probably who's going to resonate most with this, but it can be anyone, honestly. And the benefits of writing it down are that you engage with the idea, with the experience way more than you would normally. So first you have the experience, you have the exchange with someone. Then because you're paying attention, you take a moment and you reflect on it and you think, oh, okay, this is an exchange I just had. I need to probably write this down in my honesty journal. Then you go and you actually write it down in your honesty journal. So you take the time, you reflect on it again, you write it down. Then you probably are going to reread what you wrote, at least if you're like me. So you're reflecting on it yet again. And then if you're really doing this work, probably at some point throughout the day, you're going to think about it again because you're going to connect it with something else that you paid attention to. So you've reflected on a situation, you know, 5 or 6 times that you may not have paid any attention to before. And so when you start to multiply that, you know, it exponentially, it just creates this awareness. Now that also, as I'm talking, I can see that sounds like that could drive someone absolutely insane. So, as I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, wow. So it isn't that, you know, you get caught up in the cycle of just like ruminating about it and thinking about it, but it brings awareness to something, to an exchange. Someone asks you a question and you just give a rote answer. And then you think, oh, wait a minute, that was maybe a chance where I could have been a little bit more honest. And then you reflect about, why did I answer it that way? What could I have said? If that person asked me these kinds of questions all the time and I'm always giving these rote answers, I wonder why I'm giving rote answers. What, you know, like you reflect on these things that you probably just wouldn't have paid attention to before. So the real benefit is the awareness it builds. And then with awareness, you can then change, you can decide to change how you behave in any given situation, any given relationship. So for me, that improved my relationship. It also made me feel less cognitive dissonance, so less of that feeling of misalignment, like I was some kind of phony who believed, you know, held up the value of honesty but wasn't really living it, was saying it but not doing it. So by doing the work, I just felt like more aligned within myself and less likely to fall into all the landmines that can like clutter relationships, you know, friendships, romantic relationships with children in the workplace, just less likely to like fall into all those little things because just felt empowered in a new way.
What advice would you have for us and for your children in terms of what our goals should be in terms of honesty?
I think that the goal, I mean, the number one goal, and maybe this is more tactic than goal, is to pay attention, right? So just to start paying attention instead of being on autopilot around it. The other thing is to, before you lay a lot of judgment on someone, to look within yourself first, because this is something that I know about myself is, I mean, I expect a lot out of people, you know, I really, and people I am close to, right? I mean, not lots of people I don't expect much at all, but the people who I've taken time to build a relationship, like I expect a lot out of them, and I can be judgmental, and I don't like that about myself. And so doing this work kind of gave me that chance to reflect on my own behavior before I laid the judgment on someone else. And so I think the goal of it, really, like I said, the number one goal is paying attention. But then it's kind of what can come from that. And really, it's lots of different things. It depends on what you're struggling with in life. Like, it's going to depend on, you know, for me in my marriage, I was really struggling with feelings I had for someone else and what to do with that. And I didn't know how to talk to my husband about it. I had all this kind of wrapped up in it. And so finally being able to just have these honest conversations is what really allowed us to like move through it and move forward and find a better version of our relationship. So it really depends on what it is someone is struggling with. That's going to determine kind of the outcome or even the goal that they set around it. So hopefully that answered your question a little bit. But yeah, paying attention, like that's the goal. Number one goal for everyone, pay attention.
And Judy, as you know, our show is called Nobody Told Me. So at the end of each program, we ask our guests, what is your Nobody Told Me lesson? So in your case, what do you wish that someone had told you about honesty and telling the truth that would have saved you from some tough lessons that came from not being honest?
So I would say nobody told me that it wouldn't be as bad as I thought. Because it is, like I said, I've always had this push and pull with honesty, like wanting it from others, but really like being afraid to say things and being afraid to really, I don't like the phrase speak my truth because it's, but speak my truth. I mean, really being afraid to do that, you know? Sometimes I can't think of the better way to say it. And nobody told me that actually it wasn't as scary as I thought. It just took practice like everything else. Like writing, like running, like embroidering, all these things I do, it just took practice. It's not like a fundamental thing some people can do and some people can't. It's just something that takes awareness and practice, and that it was being more honest, focusing on honesty was far more connecting and empowering than I thought, way less scary than I thought.
And Judy, how can people connect with you on social media and the internet?
Sure. So I am mostly on Twitter and Instagram, and I have different handles, which is kind of silly. So Twitter, I'm at Judy Kettler, which is my name, JudiKettler. Instagram, I'm at KettleJM, just KettleJM. I think if you just search my name, you'll find it. If you Google me, you'll find all of that.
Well, perfect.
Those are the platforms I'm most active on.
And you also have a website.
I do. It's my name. It's Judy Kettler, JudiKettler.com. And all of my, you can find the links to the book there, links to articles I've written, you know, more information about me, about why I wrote the book is there on the site.
Yeah, you have a fabulous website. Well, we want to thank you so much, Judy, for coming on the show. This was a really fascinating interview, and it's great you've done so much research on this topic.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It was great to talk to you guys. It was super fun.
Our thanks to Judy Kettler, author of Would I Lie to You? The Amazing Power of Being Honest in a World That Lies. And again, her website is JudiKettler.com.
I'm Jan Black.
And I'm Laura Owens.
You're listening to Nobody Told Me. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.